if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
So the Pod Sports is presented by Clover Crest Media Group and Rocky Hill Accountants. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. How are you guys doing?
Chilling, you?
Doing good, baby. Good to be back.
Yes, sir. Glad to have you back. I'm very excited on this Friday show, guys. We got some UFC coming up. We're going to talk a little NFL today, but you know where we got to start. We got to start with the big show that's going on right now with the NBA Finals, guys. Yesterday, Devin Booker went off for 31 points and helped the Phoenix Suns defeat the Milwaukee Bucks 118-108 to help them take a 2-0 lead now with the NBA Finals. Now, the series is going to shift to Milwaukee. So the way I see it, Phoenix did what they had to do, Pride. They're home. They're going to handle their business. They're supposed to win the first two games at home. But they have won both those games pretty convincingly. Are the Bucks in trouble of getting swept right now?
I'm not going to go that far just yet. Now, if this happened at the Bucks' home court, there's a different conversation. Completely different conversation. Now, are the Bucks in trouble? Yeah. If you're going to ask me which side am I leaning on, if they're in trouble, if they're all right, I'm going to lean on the side of trouble. But in terms of being swept, I need to see how game three plays out. Look, if your best player gives you 42, that's great. Then if you go to your second and third best player, look, I don't care who you think is better. I don't care if you think Chris Middleton is better. I don't think if you think Drew Holiday is better. When both of them are shooting under 35%, you're not winning any game. I don't care what game you're playing. Basketball, football, soccer, cricket. I don't care. Hockey, whatever sport you want to play, soccer. I don't care. When you're supposedly, if you're part of your big three, cannot score for nothing, that's wild to me. That's why. Dude, bro, I'm getting – mind you, I believe Drew Holiday is legitimate. I believe you can make a case – like, he's like a couple steps away from being a superstar. But the way he's been playing lately makes me feel so stupid for saying something like that. It makes me feel like almost like I need to remove myself because like he's done nothing but let me down. Nothing but let me down. And it's wild to me because of all of them, I think he's better than Chris Middleton. I don't even think that's a debate. I think Chris Middleton needs to be the one bringing his bags into the arena. If he needs a drink, Chris Middleton needs to squirt it directly in his mouth. That's how much of the talent I think is different. But if you watch them play, I wouldn't know better. I wouldn't know any better. To me, they're playing like role players. That's how wild it is, bro. Like, they're supposed to be the face. They're supposed to be a staple. They're supposed to be a pillar to hold this house up. Bro, if I know better, bro, they're the creaky steps that leads up to the second floor that's on the verge of like giving out. It's all wild and whatnot. And like, I don't know what to do with them, bro. I don't. The reason I'm saying they're not in trouble is because role players tend to, and I'm calling them role players until they show me something different. Role players tend to play better
at home. That's fair.
They need to.
They're playing like it, so I get it.
Exactly. They're playing like it. And, bro, with Chris Middleton, we all know I despise Chris Middleton with every fiber of my being. I don't think he's that guy. I think he's a guy. But Drew Holiday?
I got to ask you, who do you hate more, Chris Middleton or campaign?
Or Paul George?
Paul George is in the corner right now, so I'm not talking about him right now. In terms of who I hate more, I'm going to say Cameron Payne, and that's just because everyone all of a sudden wants to act like, oh, my God, he's legit. No, he's legitimately trash. Like, let's get out of here, bro.
He at best is a role player. I get it. Go ahead,
though. Yeah, but the thing with Chris Middleton, bro, is I'm keep getting sold. Bro, this guy's legit. Bro, this guy could be a top three. And they're selling me it, and like a fool, I'm buying it. I've been buying it for a couple years now, and then every single time it's time for him to do something, the guy either wants to stop all ball movement, and he wants you to contest a three for no reason. Or for some reason, he wants to give Devin Booker all the space in the world and then pretend to contest when the ball's halfway to the net. Yeah, or for some
reason. Just like that picture right there.
I see how old he is.
And look at Monty. Look at Monty. And Monty's out here like, Drew thought he could guard Booker. Someone come look at this. It's ridiculous, man. Like, it's wild. And again, like, this whole team, top to bottom, aside from Giannis, because Giannis did what he did. He did what he had to do. But everybody other than that played like, we don't want to be here. It's almost like they were like maybe it was just me. But after game one, they were like, oh, yeah, we get swept. If I ain't know better, that is the vibe that they're all giving me. That's the vibe they're giving me. That talking about, oh yeah, we got swept. And then obviously Devin Booker, he out here balling out. But you know who else balled out for absolutely no reason whatsoever? Who shouldn't have balled out like that, but chose to for some reason? Mikal Bridges.
Yeah.
For some unknown reason, they thought this kid was garbage. They thought he was Cameron. Yeah. I'm like, bro, I'm like, we gotta clean the glasses. He's not he's not dog water. This kid came out here balling. He didn't care. He was like, yo, put who you want. He said, it don't matter. He said, matter of fact, it could be Giannis, it could be his brother, it could be the Laker. I'm scoring on each and every one of them. I don't care how I'm not feeling, bro. My dude came out ready, bro. Like, yeah. Yo, you know the meme when like they got the do-rag on and the henny? That was Mikal Bridges. Don't matter where you cover, which after the coupon you put on him, bro, he's smoking him for absolutely no reason whatsoever. And Mike,
yo, he said Milwaukee Bucks, Tonka trucks, freaking Almighty Ducks.
That's straight up how he was feeling, bro. The way this dude was balling out, like this kid was looking phenomenal. And again, they didn't want to guard him. They didn't want to guard. It got to a point. I think it was the third quarter. They swung him the ball. He was wide open. He waited. It was like, oh, y'all not guarding me? Say no more, chief. And shot it. And I'm like, this guy's been fucking you. What are you doing? I'm like, this dude has been literally so hot right now, bro, that it's not Phoenix that's hot, bro. It's this dude. Like, the reason that it's not the whole equator thing or where they are is why they're so hot and why the temperature outside was triple digit. Nah, this kid was so hot, he by himself was melting the polar ice caps. And then they want to leave him wide open?
Are you telling me that Mikal Bridges is the reason for global warming?
Bro, him and Devin Booker, are the reason Antarctica will not be here next year. I don't know what is going on. Like, well, obviously, Devin Booker, this kid is a superstar. And by the way, if you don't want to call him a superstar, then we just got to change the definition.
Oh, yeah.
We got to change the definition. Bro, we got to change the definition. We got to figure out another word.
I think it's fair to say it. Devin Booker has arrived.
Oh, 100%. Not arrived. He's been here, but he was quiet, though. He was quiet.
Yeah, good point.
We're the landlords, bro, and he was quiet on the first floor, right? But now he bought a baddie home. Now we're here screaming. And he did what Brett Gardner did last year. What I forgot who it was, but it was like a big boop. That's him. He like, oh, I got help. I'm here now. Pay attention, like straight up. But like, bro, I don't know what's good with this Bucks team, bro, because they're playing real lazy. Mike Budenholzer looks like he's got no control over this team. At all. Like, if he goes, yo, do this, they look at him and be like, yo, fam, why are you talking? Like, why are you here? That's the vibe I'm getting. Like, he'd be trying to, like, draw plays up, and you see Chris Middleton like, oh, man, I want to go back out and play. No, bro, you're a detriment. Go sit down. You should not be on the court right now, bro. Like, there's a lot of things that Mike Budenholzer could have done, and I try to help him out. I try to. Look, bro, I'm not a head coach, but the fixes are so obvious, brother. My son, who can't even talk, couldn't make the proper adjustments. But he wants to ride
with what he got. They don't respect him.
He wants to ride with what he wants. And at the end of the day, it's going to shoot him up. Look, man, if they get swept, he out of there. I'm not going to say they get swept. I don't know. I want to see how game three comes out. Because, again, at home, role players tend to play better. They tend to play better when the crowd is cheering them on. They tend to play better when they're having a bad slump. The crowd is still cheering their name. So, you know, I'm not going to say that they're in danger of getting swept. Not yet. A halftime in the second quarter, we'll find out whether or not they'll get swept. Because this is not a team that when you're down double digits, they're not going to like rally back and go like, oh, yeah, all for one and one for all. Like, this is not that type of team. They've never, and if anybody thinks they are, please provide me evidence so I can then apologize. But based on what I'm seeing, these guys aren't the type of dudes to be like, oh, we're down big. Look, guys, huddle around me. This is what we're going to do. No, it's more like, oh, double digits. Yo, what we getting for dinner, fam? Who, fam? That's kind of the vibe I'm getting from these dudes. So, JJ, as of right now, I'm not going to say they're in danger of getting swept. But after game three, I might have a completely different tone.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to disrespect them either, Pride. I say they can at least get one because they got the next two at home. They can at least get one. But I tell you this right now, it don't matter if they get one or they win both. The fact that when they go to Phoenix, it's a completely different Bucks team, and it's a completely different Phoenix team as well. We've seen Phoenix throughout this entire playoffs when they play home. They scorch dudes. They run them out the park. It's hard, it's barely even competitive in Phoenix. So I'm not going to go ahead and say they'll get swept. I have Phoenix winning 4-1, gentlemen sweep, because I think Giannis can try and will their team to one But dude, what a wasted effort was last night. A 40 piece on a hobbled Giannis, even though he's not as hurt as people may like to think he is, because it was only a hyperextended knee. It wasn't like he took ACL or MCL. It was just a hyperextension. He's more close to like 85-90%. But nonetheless, guys, when your man is dropping 40 plus at away, that's that you really have to win. And we talked about it, guys. Middleton and Holiday just didn't show up. They haven't shown up these finals, and they didn't show up when Giannis needed them in the most. You telling me what if Holiday and Middleton both pitch in 25, 20 points, they don't get that dub in Phoenix?
They won.
Bro, they blew their shot. They really did. I feel like they blew their shot to make it a competitive series, because if they don't win a game at home, then it's going to be over in Phoenix. And if they win at least one, they prolong the series, try and make it a little bit competitive. But, guys, I'm going to tell you this right now. Milwaukee Bucks, they don't play like the Milwaukee Bucks are supposed to play. They shot 931 in the threes last night. That's horrible. Horrible. Pride, when did we talk? We talked about a few shows ago that the Milwaukee Bucks are not a three-point shooting team. They're not a team that's supposed to.
That's what they should be doing.
I remember when you said you would have thought they were Clay and Steph, but the only thing, they weren't the Splash Brothers, they were the Big Brick Brothers. Because I said I always say this all the time, guys. Guard play, great guard play, can get you really far in the league. And we're seeing that with Chris Paul and Devin Booker dominating guard play. Both of them, I think they got like over 250 points in the first two games of the series combined. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, like, these dudes are balling. Devin Booker, he's here. He was doing all this on bad teams, guys. We just didn't see it. He's doing the exact same on a better team, on a team that's on the cusp, two games away. Like Chris Paul was saying to Dwayne Wade after the game, two left. They're two games away from walking away with a chip. And I don't care what nobody says. They deserve it. They definitely did deserve it. I don't care what nobody says about the injuries and all that. Look, at the end of the day, they faced two in front of them. They got the job convincingly. It wasn't like a fluke. They didn't win these games like, oh, my God, they got lucky. No, they were blowing these teams out. They were straight smacking teams. And even in the close game, towards the ending of close games, you saw that the Phoenix Suns would have to do to capitalize and get these dubs, even in close games. Chris Paul is playing out of his mind as well. He's showing the leader he is. 16 years, no experience, but all those years in the NBA is leading up to a moment like this, and he's composing himself. Chris Paul is getting what he wants when he wants.
Yeah, not to cut you off, Sander, but Pride and I on Wednesday show, we're talking about that Chris Paul looks extremely comfortable in his first finals appearance.
100%. And if you watch him play, do is getting to where he wants to on the court, pulling up on guys that are way taller than him. He's pulling up on the power forwards, on the centers, and he's pulling up thinking the shot's going to block. But no, he gets comfortable. He gets to his spots. He knows what he has to do. I don't know if you guys noticed, but the Phoenix Suns have brought back the mid-range game. They really did. They're not too worried about bang threes. Yes, they hit 50% of their threes last night. They went 20 for 40, but that's not the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns are penetration and passing. And I don't know if you guys saw this play in the game. There was like a play where they had like 11, 12 passes, and DeAndre Ayton hit the and one. That's all beautiful basketball. That's basketball that Milwaukee just doesn't play. And the style of play, we talk about style fights in the fight game. Well, this style, I'm sorry, it just looks like a wash. I don't think Milwaukee has anything to try and match or what Phoenix is doing on the offensive side, because they don't have guys that Phoenix have. Like, yes, they have a Middleton, but Middleton he has one good game and he's off for six. Jrue Holiday, we're still waiting to arrive in the NBA Finals. We're still waiting. Then after Giannis is going to do what he does. He gave you 30. He gave you 20 in the first game, which was a pedestrian, but that's his first game back coming off that injury. In the second game, he balls out. But then what you got? You got Middleton shooting horrible, going only like 9 for 20-something. Horrible. And then Jrue Holiday can't seem to figure out Chris Paul or Devin Booker. It doesn't matter who he's on. He's getting cooked. So the guy that you brought on for defensive stops can't get defensive stops, and his offense flow isn't going. To be honest, guys, Milwaukee has been outcoached the entire playoffs. They've gotten through these series through the skin of their teeth. They've been outcoached the entire playoffs. They've been outplayed. The only thing that Milwaukee really has on the teams that they've played is rebounding and points in the paint. That's it. They haven't led, other than the Miami that was a 4-0 wash, Milwaukee hasn't led anything else other than rebounding and points in the paint, and that's disturbing. That's really disturbing. I'm sorry, guys. I don't say they're gonna get swept. Not 4-0, and they could get one game in Milwaukee. Giannis is good enough for at least one game. And if he gave you 40 in Phoenix, you would hope he gives you close to 35, maybe, performance in Milwaukee. But hopefully Middleton and Holiday show up, because it's as simple as that. Either one or both, Middleton or Holiday, show up in game two and help Giannis with that 40-point game. They don't lose by 10 points. They lost the first game by 13. They lost the second game by 10. These are double-digit losses in NBA Finals, guys. This is close. And if Milwaukee doesn't figure it out in game three, I still think they'll possibly win game four and get one. I don't think they'll get swept. I think they're too good to get swept. And if they do get swept, chacho, bye. That's a big disappointment. I don't care what you say. It looks like a tale of two different teams. You got a team in Milwaukee that looks like they're just going to be there and not show up. And you got a guy, you got the guys in Phoenix with, led by Chris Paul, who's instilled to them, yeah, we're here for the first time in 20-something years, but they ain't done yet. Meanwhile, you got Giannis on the other side trying to, you know, gather the troops and trying to rile them up. But meanwhile, he's still giving praise to the other guys on the other team, talking about, they're great players, they're great, we got to do a better job. He said something a few shows ago that still sticks. When a guy is saying hope, like Giannis was, oh, we hope we play better in Milwaukee. We hope we can stop these guys. When you got a lot of hope going on, 9 times out of 10, you don't got a good shot at winning at all. So Milwaukee really has to gather it up in Milwaukee, try and figure out something, maybe make it dirty. PJ Tucker, dude, what are you playing for? What are you playing for? Just to try and look good, just to show up to the games with the best kicks in the NBA? Because the sneaker game is flawless. I'll give
he
you
showed
that.
Up in the air, he showed up in the Air Mag yesterday. That was pretty fresh. The Back in the Future shoes, those are fresh.
Listen, if his statistics were based on his sneaker game, he'd probably have like 6 champions, because his sneaker game is sure. But it's not. It's not. You know what I'm saying? I think Milwaukee will win one. I don't know if it's game three or game four, but they have to win one. And if they don't, it's curtains, man.
And, you know, I feel like you guys are both, you know, very being modest, you know, just considering the talent that Milwaukee does bring to the NBA Finals. They're definitely a team worthy of being there, considering they made the journey that they went. They definitely deserve to be where they're at. I'm going to be disrespectful. This is feeling real swippish to me, because I really just see a team that knows how to play with the team that they have, and then I see a dumbass team that tries to get away from what they should actually do. And I feel like they don't even know they're in the NBA Finals. Like, I feel like they're just playing like, oh, we're still in the second round, or maybe we're in the conference. No, this is the last series of the season, guys. Like, if you guys don't win it now, it's the next season come a few months from now. And right now, the Phoenix Suns just seem to be the more engaged team right now. They look like they're just hungrier, more aggressive. Listen, after game one, Budenholzer and the Bucks were all like, oh, we're not getting a fair whistle, yada, yada, yada. You're making yourself a jump shooting team. Which jump shooters get fouls called on them, especially jump shooters who can't make free throws? You know what I mean? So with that point, guys, listen, Phoenix is going to – I think it's going to – if it's not five, I think it's going to be a sweep, because they're just – like I said, they're just playing the smarter basketball. They got the better coach. They got the killer in Devin Booker, who hit some – great, fantastic threes late in that game. Every time that it felt like the Bucks were going to come back and make it a little buzz to make the game more interesting down the stretch and make it tighter, Devin Booker was like, nah, bro. You see these shoes I got on? They call Black Mambas, bro, and I'm about to show you my Kobe's impression. And boom, there goes a three. Boom, there goes a three. And before you know it, the 6-point game, 7-point game turns back to 12, and there was never a competition after that. And, you know, prior, you mentioned it, bro. This team, like, you know, they go down by a little bit, and they're kind of like, All right, I guess we should start preparing for the next game because I don't see us climbing uphill from this one. And I really put that a lot on Coach Budenholzer because as the coach, you're supposed to get up in your players' asses and be like, yo, this is the NBA Finals. Why are you guys so lackadaisical? We're supposed to be playing for a championship. JJ, we haven't been here since 1973.
JJ, Budenholzer called the timeout and was talking to the team. He had to beg Drew Holiday to pay attention. Beg Drew Holiday. Hey, Drew. Attention. Drew, you looking?
Yeah, and that really shows that I just feel like his voice is just falling on deaf ears, and maybe they need a new voice in that team. They need a new coach. That, and you know, it's just a shame because you know I remember having the conversation that we were talking. Oh, if they lose to this team, is he gonna get fired? If they lose to the Nets, are they gonna get fired? If they lose to Atlanta, is he gonna get fired? And he just kept saving his job. Well, guess what, Budenholzer? You're at the pinnacle right now. It's win or go home, and literally legacies are at stake, and your job is at stake, Pride. And I really think I think even if they win, I think Budenholzer might be out the building regardless just because his voice is just not being heard.
Yeah, and if you're saying the sweep, I don't blame you for feeling that way. You know what I mean? Like, I personally think the Bucks could take a game. That's what I'm not saying. But for you to say that, I mean, yeah, you're being disrespectful to them, but with reason. Like, you're not just being disrespectful for the sake of it. You actually do have some valid points.
You remember when we were here not a few weeks ago and we're talking like, oh, is Chris Middleton the actual Batman of this team? Is Giannis Robinson? Now we just sound absolutely foolish now.
100%. Bro, no cap, bro. I tweeted, I'm sorry to Giannis.
Yeah,
that's how stupid I was, and I apologize for it. And then I also retweeted something about Chris Middleton, but it was in poor taste. I was doing out of frustration, so I deleted it and I tweeted at him, sorry for thinking you were good. So you know, I'm hoping I get some attention there. But to Mike Budenholzer's point about we're not getting calls of free throws. Well, you are. You're just mad that the calls are on Giannis, who happens to be your worst free throw shooter on the floor. Like, that's really comes out to he wants Chris Middleton on that line. He wants Drew. He'll even take Brooke Lopez on that line. He'll take PJ Tucker on that line. But he's just mad.
I want to know how many times Middleton has gone to the free throw line.
How many? Yep. But again, he doesn't deserve to go on the line because the only time he ever goes.
He's not being aggressive.
That's it. Exactly. He doesn't. He always settles for a contested stupid shot. And that's a problem because, again, I understand that nowadays when if a guy pump fakes and they jump into him and then the offensive player bumps in to give him a whistle, I get that. Me, I'm not giving you a whistle. Matter of fact, I'll be a cornball and call offensive foul 9 out of 10 times. And the one time that I don't call it, it's because I don't blow the whistle. And that's what Chris Middleton is trying to do. He's trying to get superstar calls. Bam, you're barely a star. Yeah. Barely. And your only reason you're a star is because, dare I say, because you're on the Bucks. You go to any other team, you're a role player at best. To quote Dwayne The Rock Johnson, know your role and shut your mouth. You're paid to ball out. If you cannot ball out, that's fine. Part ways applicably and say, you know what? I'm not that guy. I'm not that good. Either A, let me come off the bench, or B, get rid of me outright. But I'm sick and tired of people trying to tell me that Chris Middleton's good. And like a fool, I fall for it. I fall for it. And I blame myself because I've seen him. It's like Paul George. It's like, bro, you don't understand how riled up this gets me, bro. Because with Paul George, I know Paul George ain't that guy. I know it. People try to sell me he's great. And I'm like, bro, he had two good games. And after that, the guy shooting under 40%. Nobody wants to talk about that. But with Chris Middleton, I see it. I hear it. I taste it. And like a fool, I go back to the same dish. And like a fool, I keep eating. I keep eating like a fool. And I don't like it. And I throw up afterwards. But I see there's more on the plate. And I go back. That's why I'm so mad about this, because I know he's not that guy, and I keep trying to check myself. Maybe he's that guy. And Drew Holiday, talk about a letdown. See, I expected some Chris Middleton, but Drew Holiday, that right there is the gut punch, because you brought Drew in. If Chris Middleton has a bad night, oh, boom, we can rely on him to bail us out. Dude, but Drew can't even bail himself out of the offense, bro. They run a set, and the guy just doesn't want to do anything. He doesn't want to do anything. At this point, he's like, look, man, I'm running my contract out, and after this, I'm gone, bro. I don't care who y'all get. Unless the next two superstars walking through this door is LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard, bro, I'm a matrix. Every contract negotiation topic y'all give me, bro, because y'all ain't going to catch me here, bro. And I feel bad for him. I really do, because like I said, bro, I think he's legit. I think he's a couple steps away from being a superstar. I like him a lot.
He's a legit star. for sure.
100% legit star. I'm gonna tell you this right now. If he gives me one memorable playoff run, I might be corny, but I'll call him a superstar. That's how close he is for me. That's how much I like him. But now it's to a point where I don't want to call the dude a star anymore. That's how he's getting me. He's putting himself with Chris Middleton. I told Chris Middleton go in the corner. I said Drew was like, okay, I'll join him. Like, no, bro, you're supposed to be here.
And you know what gets me riled up about it? The thing is, I could accept a bad offensive performance from Drew Holiday if he doing work on defense. But he getting cooked, bro.
Fam, you know how bad it is? They're calling switching roles to get Drew Holiday on them. Bro, listen, if my calling card is defense, if I'm a defensive
your first
stop,
team all and defense?
I'm everybody, and I'm like, oh yeah, bro, everybody, I'm here, right? And I'm away from the ball, and I see pick and rolls, and they all of a sudden they got me and call ISO. I'm looking around like, hey, yo, timeout, whoa, timeout. I'm immediately calling timeout. Yo, bro, come out here, bro, because if someone getting cooked, it's not me. Because, bro, they're literally calling ISOs for him. They'll call ISOs for Chris Middleton. Then after that, they look defeated. And then they're like, okay, now that they're defeated, now let's work on everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I'm like, yo, you're first team on defense, and they're ISOing you, bro. They're calling you out like you're Brooke Lopez or Bobby Portis, bro. It's wild, fam.
JJ, you had said something. Where they were like, oh, if they're down 6 points, next thing you know, Phoenix bangs like two or three threes, and now it ballooned up. Phoenix runs this thing called a 0.5 offense. Have you guys heard about it? That once the ball touches one of the players on the set on offense, they have 0.5 seconds to react. They're either going to shoot or drive the ball.
Yep.
So I just don't know how you stop that, because we all remember that Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni offense that was like a 7 seconds or less offense. A 0.5 offense? I don't know how the hell you defend that. But nonetheless, Phoenix is doing the thing.
Yeah, for sure, guys. And, you know, we'll definitely be tuned in from Sunday's Game 3. And I'm telling you, this game is going to be very pivotal for Milwaukee, because if they don't win Game 3, man, I know this is not one show they're going to want to watch, because we're going to blame them like a freaking hot dog at a barbecue, guys. So they better show up in Milwaukee, because that's their best chance. But let's transition to the NFL, guys. I'm very excited. You know, we did a top five running back edition, and I'm very excited to do a top five wide receiver edition, Sander. You know, every quarterback needs a best friend, and usually the best friend is that wide receiver, because, you know, we know that, you know, to have success, you need guys in the league that's going to cause separation, because at the end of the day, speed kills. And not only speed kills, but skills kill. Try saying that three times. I don't know. But nonetheless, Sander, give me your top five receivers going into the new season.
Well, number one, you just saw him on that little highlight reel a few plays ago. That boy, Nuke B. Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins, man. I got him at number one. Should I say anything about this guy? Like, for the past 6 years, but take away Deshaun Watson. Look at the last 5-6 quarterbacks that this man had, and then look at the statistical numbers that he had. Imagine, okay? That's all I got to say. So I'm going right there. And nonetheless, remember a few years ago, Hopkins was one of those few receivers, probably like a handful of receivers all time in NFL history, who went an entire season that didn't drop a single pass that was thrown to him. Yeah. That right there is just unbelievable. He still holds my number one spot until the wide receiver to me ups him. At number two, listen, you can't take anything away from this man going into this season based off last season stats. He was a monster. Davante Adams, the dude had 13+100 receiving yards, and he capped it off with 8 touchdowns. But nonetheless, man, another 100 catch year for this man. He just keeps getting better and better, and now he might be playing in a season where he doesn't have Rodgers, so he might have to ball out even better, because this is a contract year for him. Nonetheless, number three, I got this new kid on the block, might turn some heads, but that's Justin Jefferson, man, from Minnesota. That kid is balling. I think he's electrifying. He reminds me a little bit of Randy Moss with his speed and his height. Also can go up there and get it. It is a phenomenal athlete. I watched him on the I Am Athlete podcast with Brandon Marshall. Him and Stephon Diggs went up there, and they were trying up with Ocho and Brandon Marshall, and they talk a lot about the game, man. I really like his mentality. He's only getting better. He's a real pro's pro, and he's learning the game the way it's supposed to be learned. And having a guy like Adam Thielen, a perennial all-pro wide receiver, teach him the game and teach him skills. You can't get and you can't really get another better situation than where he's at right now. I think he's gonna blow up next season, probably have another 100 catch season plus the yard, because the dude had 88 catches and he still put up 1400 receiving yards. Yeah. So, and another thing that he was tops in the league in plays for over 20 yards. So the dude is explosive. He's definitely explosive. And number four, you can't really forget about this guy. It'd be disrespectful to. I know Pride might not like him that much, but Tyreek Hill, bro. He fits perfect with a quarterback like Mahomes. When it comes, we all said in Madden, speed kills, speed kills. We don't let Jose, we don't let our brother Jose get Tyreek Hill for that reason. The fact that, you know, Tyreek Hill is who he is, he fits that offense greatly. You know, he may not be the best receiver in the league, but he's the best receiver in that. He makes it go. Oh, that's my homeboy's number one target. So, yeah, Tyreek Hill, definitely a top five receiver. And number five, that boy Mike Evans. Bro, there's too much people on this kid. But if you don't really sit here and watch his games, the dude is a really, really great wide receiver. He's one of the few wide receivers that since his start of his career, he's had consecutive 1,000-yard receiving years. Of course, last season was 1,003. He wasn't taking the cover off the ball, but nonetheless, he's reliable, dependable, healthy, great hand. Year two with the GOAT, so I expect even bigger things. I think going into next season, by the end of next season, I think that Mike Evans is going to be Brady's favorite target. It's that simple. The kid is a monster, hard worker. Even those horrible years with Jameis Winston, he was still putting up really good numbers. So now he got a championship. He was one of the guys that after he won the championship, you know how most guys are all happy and ready, like, yeah, we did it. This guy had the mentality that Brady instilled in him. Oh, we got one. It's time to go into next season and get done again. And that's that mentality right there. That's a rider. That's a dog that you have. Mike Evans is, for me, one of the most underrated, most talented receivers in the NFL right now. I think next season, he's going to have a blowout season. I think he's going to cap 1,000, possibly pass it with 12. But I think year two of Brady, if he was another chip, come on. You can't really take his name out, you know, out in the all-time list. So I think right now those are my top five going into next season. Hopkins, Adams, Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, and Mike Evans.
I like it. What you got for me, Pride?
So first and foremost, number five, Tyreek Hill. I don't really like him like that. If you tell him to run a route, the kid will just look at you and say, oh, I'll run a nine. Only reason he's top five, he's got elite speed. I will give him that. His speed is very, very almost impossible to keep up with. You basically need to be a freak of nature and basically be a freak of nature of pure speed. Because as soon as he takes off, bro, and you can't be quick, you got to be fast. It's not like how guys line up for a guy like Julian Edelman. You just got to be quick and get that first twitch off. Nah, with him, you got to be fast. You got to keep up. He's a constant deep threat. So I'm not going to, you know, again, not the biggest fan of his in the world, because when it comes to technique, he ain't got it. But one thing he got is speed. And he's showing y'all, all you need is speed. You don't need to be technical. If you got speed and you got a guy with an arm who could throw it as far as long as the day is long, bro. Oh, he good. So I got my number five. Number four, A.J. Brown. First and foremost, to anybody who thinks A.J. Brown is not a top five wide receiver, football is not in your wheelhouse. This guy, if you look at him, you tell him to do anything. What does he do? Exactly what we told him to. Line him up outside. Line him up inside. Slam. Cross route. Fade. Don't matter. This dude can catch you. He can catch you off a route. He can catch you off a jump pass. He can literally burn you up with speed. This dude has it all. The only reason I'm going to knock him, only reason, it's just the fact that they have Julio coming. And since Julio's going to be in there, he's not going to get as many touches. But I will say something. If y'all going to look at those touches, his touches might go down. If y'all say his touches going down means he's a horrible wide receiver, you just produced a horrible take.
Yeah.
Isn't it like the Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster type of effect?
No, not at all. Not at all. Because AJ Brown is so much better than Juju Smith-Schuster. It's not even close.
No, that's not what I meant. I meant it's kind of like that effect. Since you got a great Julio, you kind of take your eyes off AJ Brown, and there's more single man coverage with AJ Brown, so he could beat his guy. So I'm not saying, of course, he's better.
Maybe the league thinks all the hype that everyone is saying that Julio isn't that guy anymore. Yeah, I feel like we're not really going to know that until like week three, because it depends on how defenses are going to go at him. Because if defenses go at Julio with the respect he deserves, then Like, okay, you really can't double
anyone. And let's not forget, they got to respect that big moves at running back.
So there's a lot of stuff they got to respect. So it's going to be interesting. But number three, Michael Thomas. Now that all the people who call him Slant Boy is wild. That's wild to me, because this is the first time. First of all, he's not just Slant Boy. Let's just throw that out there. But it's wild to me that we're now disrespecting a guy who's technically sound. That blows my mind. I've never in my life have heard. Like, Steph Curry is the greatest shooter of all time. We don't call him, oh, bro, he's shoot boy because he's too scared to go in the paint. I've never heard that before about him, ever. Like, Tom Brady doesn't run. Oh, that's pocket boy because he's too scared to go in the paint. I've never heard that before. So now with Mike Thomas, we're going to disrespect him? Like, it was the media, stupid media making bleep up. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Look, man, I just work here. All I know is I'm lining up against Julio, bro. My guy's breaking records. I'm talking about he getting 300 catches for like a million yards, and I'm getting released at halftime. So I'm just throwing that out there. So I ain't disrespecting Julio at all. I know better. But for Michael Thomas, this dude is phenomenal. Great Twitch Big Jace with Jason's arm. Thomas will get a shot to prove he's not just a slant boy. I mean, that's true. You can make that case because, again, even though with all the high turnovers in Tampa, he loved to fling it. That was his calling card. He was like, look, bro, I'll throw it. I don't care who catches it. As long as it hit the ground, that's a dub for me. That's
he
how
he threw 5,000 yards.
Yeah, he threw 5,000
yards. Mike Evans had 1,000 yards.
So, but, you know, I think he's great. I just think, like, wherever you put him, he's great. Again, inside, outside, kind of like A.J. Brown, inside, outside, you can put him anywhere, and he will produce, and he will give you what he needs to give, point blank, period. I don't like that slander. So, number two, Davante Adams. Now, I would put him number one. I would. I really would. I was so tempted to. I like this guy. I really do. The only thing I'm not going to say I don't like, but his speed is great. But sometimes his route running, I'm not going to say it's suspicious, but sometimes they're not as clean as you would want a guy of his stature to be. Now, the reason I have him over Michael Thomas is because of health. Because right now with that injury to Mike Thomas, he kind of was iffy. I want to see how he goes in. Based on pure talent, he's definitely top three. I don't care what anybody says. I will fight you for that. He's definitely top three. With Adams coming into the season, I feel like regardless if Aaron Rodgers is there or not, I feel like he's going to have a point to prove. Because Aaron Rodgers was crying about the offense. Who's on that offense? Davante Adams. Davante Adams is going to be like, fam, I'm here to prove to all of y'all I'm a baller. Like, no, not a baller. I'm a big baller. No, I'm going to quote the great LeVar Ball. Big baller brain. Like, that's on the level I am. Like, want to prove, bro. Like, I'm telling you, bro, he's going to come in and he's going to try to take the league over, and I hope so, because this guy really is talented. And number one, DeAndre Hopkins. There's no explanation needed. If you need an explanation on why I need to say DeAndre Hopkins, then either you don't know football or you just don't know the wide receiver position. This guy plays two sports. Did you guys know that? Did you know he played two sports? Y'all didn't know? He plays football, and his hands are like baseball mitts. So this dude's out here doing double time every time he step on the field. Did y'all know that? I didn't know that. But apparently no one told him that he's only playing one sport. Because every time the ball's up, guess what? It comes down. And guess who comes down to? This big dude. This guy was thrown in almost triple coverage. Dare I say quadruple coverage? Came down with it. Name me one guy who can do that.
That Hail Mary was not special, bro.
Rightly. Bro, yeah. Name me one guy who can do that. Name me one guy. Time's up. I can give it to the end of the world. Don't matter. No one can do it like how he did it. So I'm without a shout out, I have to give it to him, bro. Like, this guy, again, he's not my cup of tea.
Hey, he's a deep threat too, baby. Doesn't matter.
This dude is phenomenal. This dude is a freak of nature when it comes to wide receiver position. So for me, it's going to be 5 Tyreek Hill, 4 AJ Brown. And if anyone disagrees about AJ Brown, I don't care. Just don't talk to me. 3 Michael Thomas. That one, don't talk to me. Times 2 Davante Adams, and 1 DeAndre Hopkins.
Good list, guys. All the guys that you mentioned, any team will be glad to have. You know, they're all quarterback's best friends. So I like all your receivers so far. But let me slap you with my five. Number five for me, you mentioned him, Sander, Justin Jefferson. You know, he had a big breaking out year coming out of his rookie year. He really put the league on splash, and I think that he's going to continue that trajectory, especially in Minnesota where they got Dalvin Cook with the play action, and Kirk Cousins is an elite, but he's definitely serviceable enough to get the ball in your hands, and this kid can run any route, make any catch. So I'm very excited to see what he's going to turn out to be come year two. You know, maybe he'll have a sophomore slump, but I don't see that coming in for him because I just feel like he's made out of the right stuff. I think he's going to have a great year. Number four, Tyreek Hill. You mentioned their pride, that speed. You got to respect that. You know, he's the best burner in the league. He'll get behind anybody in the NFL that's playing right now. And his route running isn't the best, but it has gotten better since he has gone to the league. He's at least serviceable to that degree, and his hands are more than serviceable enough. Don't matter. If you could throw it deep, you still got to catch it nonetheless. And he's able to come down with those big catches. And if you let him, he'll do a backflip on you. So he just shows you how lethal this guy could be. Tyreek Hill, you got to respect him. Number three, Stephon Diggs. I'm glad that Stephon Diggs, you know, he was a big-time receiver in Minnesota, but now that he's in Buffalo with a guy like Josh Allen, this guy turned life around for Josh Allen. And them two just turned out to be such a beautiful combination. And just their first year together, I was surprised that they were able to click to such a degree. And you can just see that just their connection alone just brought Buffalo to a higher height. And I think some of that has to do with the decline of the New England Patriots, you know, losing Tom Brady, having to readjust their whole lineup. And I think they took advantage of that, rightfully so, and took the division last year. But nonetheless, they did play great football and did earn the spot to be in the playoffs themselves. And eventually they flamed out. But nonetheless, Stephon Diggs was a big reason why they were elite last year. I had him in fantasy, so I know how good he was. Believe me. So believe it. Number two, you guys had him at number one. And the gap between number one and number two for me wasn't very high. It's really like this. And the only reason why I gave DeAndre Hopkins the nod at two is because I think that the guy I do have at one, Davante Adams, just has a better serviceable quarterback at the moment. Kyler Murray ain't Aaron Rodgers, and he's not putting the ball in the places that Aaron throws it to Davante. That Kyler doesn't do it for DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins definitely has helped elevate Kyler Murray's game as well. I'm not giving Kyler no slack because I'm a big Kyler guy. I think he's great too. But DeAndre Hopkins, I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to discredit this dude. He's number two. And like I said, the gap isn't that far off between. And I see y'all both giving me looks. How are you going to put Hopkins over Davante Adams? But like I said, it might be like by centimeters, even millimeters, the difference between this guy. But going into this new season, I just like Davante Adams just a little bit better than DeAndre Hopkins. Now y'all can flame me if y'all want.
Just a quick question. I think I'm on the wrong show. Are we talking about top five quarterbacks or receivers? I don't care who's at the quarterback position.
Who gets you the ball, Pride? Who gets you the ball?
Whoa.
Can I get him?
Deshaun Watson, who was D-Hop catching balls from? Still putting up 1,000
yards. Can I get him?
Give him me with a broken back, and he getting 1,000 yards. Oh, by the way, Jace, I have Stephon at six. I have him at six. I mean, it was real close. I get why you would say five. I'm not going to kill you for that. I had him at six. Jose said he's got Adams, Hopkins, okay,
unless we're both bugging.
Yeah, I mean, look, man, if you want to put Diggs in there, I don't mind. Again, I had him at six. But fam, by your logic, Justin Jefferson needs to be out the top five because his quarterback is Kirk Cousins.
But he's serviceable. Kirk Cousins is serviceable.
Who's better? Kirk Cousins or Jameis Winston?
Like you said, we're not talking quarterbacks. I'm just talking about what they do when the ball gets thrown at them.
Poppy, you can't sit there and say that and then say the reason you got Adams over Hopkins is because of who's throwing him the ball.
He gets put in better positions. They score more points. You see the numbers. Adams had a better season than him last year.
I got to turn my AC on, bro. You're making me hot,
dude. This is Adams' first year leading the league receiving. DeAndre has been doing this for years now, and he's been doing it with no one at the level of Aaron.
Y'all really coming at me like I put Hopkins at five.
I just want to say something. If you want to put Adams at one, I have no disagreement because I'm with you. The difference between one and two was close. My thing is, don't sell me it's because it's the quarterback. Don't tell me that. Because if you're going to have to.
If you caught me when I said first, I said it was the situation, and it just helps that he has a better quarterback. I think he's just in a better situation right now.
I mean, I get, but if we're talking about a situation, Tyreek Hill needs to be number one. Because he's
the reason why he's in the top five.
No. He's got to be number one then. Because he's in the best situation.
You and your logic isn't going to change my list. I don't care about your
list. He's reporting to Green Bay right now. So how is right now Adams in a better position if Jordan Love is his quarterback?
I don't – no. My thing is, don't sell me that Hopkins is better – or I'm sorry, that Adams is better because he has a better quarterback. You can't sell me on that.
I even think the skill sets are comparable. I think they're both really fine receivers. They're one and two, respectively. You can't go wrong. They're both reach everybody's top three. If they fall out of the top three, then you really don't know football. I just think that Davante Adams right now is just a little better overall.
And if you said it like that, I wouldn't disagree. That's not my – again, my
issue. That's what I'm saying. I just said a little more. But don't you just want to listen to what you want to listen to. That's fine. That's cool. But I'm just saying,
the reason he would be better is because of the quarterback. Those were the words that literally came out of your mouth. You literally said that.
And I stick with it. That's fine. You didn't let me finish. You wanted to cut me off. I didn't say my whole point.
No, you did, because you passed it over to us. You finished it.
And I can't add to my point. I can't add to my point. Yes, I can. I got airtime.
I've been giving you the opportunity, and you keep repeating the same thing. Don't tell me it's because of the quarterback. Because this is, last time I checked, it's the top five wide receivers, not quarterbacks.
I'm going to keep Davante at number one.
That's fine. I'm not mad at your conclusion. I'm mad at the way you got there, bro. You want to go through
draft. You'll be mad. Let the little vein come out your forehead. I don't care.
Listen. He's the number
one receiver in my book right now.
I don't know.
Look at, if you want to compare receivers,
let's compare receivers, guys.
Let me compare the receivers. Ready? Because these are one and two. Adams and Hopkins. Ready? They both had 115 catches last season. One had 1400 yards. That was Hopkins, and Adams only had 1300 yards. Who had 18 touchdowns? Adams did, but guess who was throwing him the ball? Rodgers, Kyler Murray can only do so much, and the dude is still putting top receiver numbers.
Okay.
All I'm saying is, if you're gonna tell me he's the best, make a case he's the best without bringing in the quarterback. That's my only point. That's literally my only point. If you want to put Adams at one, I'm not going to disagree with you. That's fine. I'd rather Hopkins. But again, if you put Adams, that's not a broken list. That's not you being bugging. My thing is, if you're gonna sell me an orange, don't tell me it's because it's not an apple. Don't sell me like that. Don't bring in another fruit to try.
I can sell water to a whale, baby. Believe me. Nonetheless, guys,
my time. How you want to sell it? Ain't nobody gonna buy it.
Like I said, he don't fall out of the top three in anybody's list. However you slice him. So I'm gonna go with Jefferson, Tyreek, Stephon, Hopkins, and Davante Adams, respectfully. Nonetheless, guys, I'm very excited. I can't wait for the NFL to come, because I can't wait. This is the last month about NFL football, guys. I cannot wait. But yes, I'm very excited, guys. I do want to transition to the UFC, because we got a big fight night. And with a big fight night, we need a big personality. So I got to welcome the man, the legend, my guy, Big Face.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Big fella? How you feeling, brother?
Good. How are you guys doing? Enjoying the show.
Bro, I'm glad you're here, because Jace, I want to poke your mind, bro.
All right.
Yes, and that we will do, guys. UFC 264 is this weekend, guys, and we got the trilogy fight coming, McGregor versus Poirier 3. McGregor won the first fight. Poirier came back and won the second one back in January. And I don't know, guys, I'm very excited for this fight. You know, I always get hyped up for fights, but when it's a trilogy and there's a story to it, Jace, it's just something about it that just gets my freaking juices flowing, man. So, you know, tell me what you think about this fight, man.
Dude, this fight, I don't get the hype around it. Poirier is going to win easily. I think he's just going to dominate. But that's not the real big story. That's not the big story with this fight.
He's not interested in it. He doesn't give you a deal. That's what I lost.
No, Matt, Conor McGregor has ruined UFC. Dustin Poirier should not be fighting Conor McGregor right now. He should be fighting Charles Oliveira. Damn. He should have been in that fight. He needs a belt. He is the best lightweight right now because Khabib is retired. So Poirier, that's what Conor McGregor's brought. He's brought this idea of a money fight. I'm not mad at people going out and getting their money. But McGregor, like, winning the featherweight belt, then going to fight Diaz at welterweight, and then having that, and then coming back down to get the lightweight title, to then go box, and then you come back, you get destroyed by Khabib, you beat an old Cowboy Cerrone, and now you got Dustin Poirier, the best lightweight in the world. You're gonna lose. In 2014, McGregor was better. That was at featherweight, because McGregor was better at featherweight. But this is lightweight. Poirier's the best lightweight in the UFC right now, and he's gonna dominate a wash up Conor McGregor.
Go ahead,
Brian.
Wow. So there's a lot to digest. So I agree with you that Poirier should have been he should have taken the place of Michael Chandler. I'll agree with you there. And from that point afterwards, brother, if we're playing darts, you're missing the board. That's wild, bro. What you're doing is Conor lost this most recent fight, right? He lost, right? And he got put to sleep. I'm not gonna lie about that. He got put to sleep. But can we stop acting like Dustin dominated him from belt to belt? That's my thing. Can we stop? Look, he didn't check any leg kicks, and that's kind of what did him over in the end, because then when he started worrying about the leg kicks, that's when Dustin started working. But can we stop acting like Conor didn't hurt him a few times in the fight? Can we stop acting like Dustin's nose wasn't almost on the verge of being disintegrated with the shoulder, with those little shoulder hits, bro? My thing is, we cannot say, Frank Quest said, the best part of your show is when you guys don't agree on shit. Oh, 100%, they're wrong and I'm right. So you feel me? So when you're on that line, he said, why is Jace wearing a WWE shirt?
Hey, because it doesn't matter.
I love it because that's the Rock and Stone Cold. I love that one. Jace, I love that one. But love for it. Me, bro, it's like, look, I got Conor. Now, the reason I have Conor is because in rematches, Conor, for the most part, if you watch his history, he doesn't lose rematches. When it comes to the rematch, he kind of goes back to the drawing board, looks and says, okay, I did X, Y, and Z wrong. So now I'm going to do A, B, and C. So then I can do, you know, like he evaluates himself and he knows what he did wrong. It's the IQ. So for me, I don't think it's going to be like, you know, because I get your point. Look, Dustin, he's a great lightweight. He is. But at the same time, to call Conor washed, I mean, after one loss, I mean, fam, we said the same thing.
After one loss. After, what year are we in? We're in 2021. Since 2016, you know what Conor McGregor's resume is? He boxed Floyd Mayweather.
You're right.
He got demolished by Khabib. And then he
beat the
guy in Cowboy Cerrone. And then this fight.
I'm sick of that. Hold on.
Guys.
Flag on the play. Timeout. Blow the whistle. Okay. Timeout. I'm about to eject you.
I hate this thing. McGregor since 2016.
And how he fought what, three times? Since 2016, right?
In the UFC, okay. Yes.
He beat Cowboy. Did he go out and walk Cowboy? No, it was a warm-up fight. So don't knock the guy for trying to fight. When it came to Khabib, look, man, everyone knew he was going to lose to Khabib. I might go disagree with that. True. But for the Poirier fight, did Dustin dominate bell to bell? If you say yes, Jace, you're lying to me, brother. You're lying because he didn't dominate.
He got the finish. He's just the stronger, bigger, stronger guy. At 155.
He was going back. McGregor
still got that. McGregor's still a great counterpuncher, and he's going to get his hits. But Poirier is, yes. At 155, Poirier is just bigger, stronger, going to wash him. Poirier is the best lightweight right now since Khabib is retired.
McGregor is not there.
He's a great featherweight if he wants to go back down to featherweight. If we're talking lightweight, he's a boxer as far as I'm concerned. He's done nothing at lightweight.
But fam, I understand your. Go ahead, Light. Go ahead, Light. I need to breathe. Go ahead, Light.
Listen. I'm going into this fight, into this trilogy. Dustin is going into it for all the wrong reasons, which is why he's going to lose this fight. He should have taken the title fight. He should have said, the hell with money, let me get the belt. Because guess what? When he got that little fake belt, What happened when he faced Khabib? He got destroyed, embarrassed, and started crying right after the bell rung. This is not Dustin's time. Dustin's time was a few months ago when Dana White asked him, do you want the title or do you want the trilogy? I should have asked for the title, because guess what? Facing Conor McGregor a second time, I don't know how many times Conor McGregor has lost twice in a row. All right? So I'm not going to go ahead and advance against one of the most dangerous strikers in all of UFC. I don't care what you say in the lightweight and the featherweight in the division that Conor McGregor is currently fighting. He's still one of the most dangerous with his hands. Yes, Poirier is a brawler, but you don't want to get in a brawl with Conor McGregor. He's going to strike you with pinpoint accuracy, and you think he's not going to learn from those double leg kicks? I'm 100% sure. If you have been keeping up with Embedded and all the UFC fight vlogs, I'm pretty sure you'll see that this man has been doing nothing but making sure he's ready for those kicks. On Dustin's side, what is he going to do really better? I think the best Dustin that you saw was that Dustin in the Conor fight, and the best Conor McGregor, as crazy as it might sound, we still have yet to see. Yeah, we saw when he was the champion, but he's going to get back to that. Because the dude definitely does have 100+ million in the bank, and he's always going to be a billionaire. But the dude has the hungry fight in him. He's not the same McGregor that he was when he went second Dustin Poirier fight, where he was all calm, cool. Oh, Dustin's a nice guy. He's done things in the organization. If you saw the press yesterday, we got old McGregor back, the disrespectful McGregor back, talking about your wife. Oh, your wife is your husband. Yeah, that's the McGregor that we getting back. And that's the McGregor that we come fight night. It's curtains for Dustin Poirier. It really is. I don't understand where you getting. Yes, he got manhandled by Khabib, but how long was he all out of the UFC for when he took that fight? Most dudes, when they're going to fight a guy like Khabib, they take one, maybe two fights to get heated up. You don't just get two years off and go straight to the top of the mountain and think you're going to win, because 9 times out of 10, a dude like Khabib is going to demolish you. And we saw what happened. But nonetheless, guys, Conor McGregor, he's reaching the level that he once reached before. And I think Conor McGregor is going to make another run for the belt. And we're going to see this Irish mania just go bonkers like it was before. Right now, Conor McGregor, he got this in the bag, guys. This isn't the Conor McGregor that we saw before. This is the Conor McGregor we saw before he fought Floyd Mayweather. I don't care what nobody say. And come tomorrow, he's going to show it. Watch and see.
Dude, even if Conor McGregor wins, he's not going for the belt. He's going to go fight one of the Paul brothers and make
a load of money. Stop disrespecting Conor like that. Stop disrespecting Conor.
That's what he's going to go do. Watch.
I'm going to go on another soliloquy, but before I do that, JJ, let me know. Am I bugging, bro? Because if I'm bugging, let me know.
I don't think you guys are bugging, but I'm not going to let you guys jump Jace, because I'm on the same opinion that I think Poirier is going to win tomorrow night. I think he's going to win the trilogy, because I just feel like he's the guy with the better mindset right now. You guys mentioned that Conor's very comfortable right now. He just made I don't know how many hundred million off the whiskey deal right now. And guess what? After this fight, he's going to be crying over spilled whiskey, because Poirier is just going to beat him up. Again, I don't think he's gonna dominate. I think this fight is actually gonna go the distance. I don't think nobody's gonna knock nobody out. I think it's actually gonna be a tough, scrappy, classic UFC fight. I think we're gonna remember McGregor Poirier 3 for a very long time. I just think that Poirier right now is the hotter fighter. He's streaky right now. McGregor, I don't think his mindset is right there. And like you guys mentioned, he's coming off a loss. You're right. He's never lost back-to-back fights. I think he demands a lot of credit for that. But I just don't think that his heart and his skill right now is just what it was. I know you mentioned, Sander, how he's might be reaching that pinnacle again. I don't think that he could reach that pinnacle again, because I don't think that his ceiling was what it once was. So with that being said, Jace, I do think that Poirier, just like you think, is going to win tomorrow night.
McGregor is also, this is a different McGregor, because he's never been knocked out before coming off. So he's coming off his first knockout. Yeah, I think he's washed up. And you can say what you want about his striking. I do think he can counter something and land something to put Poirier to sleep, but I don't see that happening. Even if he can start lighting up Poirier on the feet, Poirier can take it to the ground and put Conor McGregor to sleep and make it his fifth submission loss, McGregor's fifth submission loss. So I don't – Poirier is going to outclass McGregor, and it's done. In McGregor's going to go and fight YouTubers after this.
Yeah.
This is the end of Conor McGregor in the UFC. Poirier is going to go take him into Triller or whatever that's called, and he can go fight – all the Paul brothers, all 17 of them, and then KSI, and then PewDiePie, and then some all these other YouTubers, and make
money. He might fight Lamar Odom. He might fight Ocho Cinco. Who knows?
Bro, if we just throw names out there, bro, Connor, I'll fight you. I'll give you easy.
Before I let you go, Pride, because I know you definitely want to go again, I will say this, though, what makes this fight even better for a trilogy, these two guys do not like each other. No. At all at this point.
No, they respect each other.
But
they
matter.
No, you're 100% right. But I, because look, Jace, you're trying to make it seem like the levels are so out of like Dustin is just so much on a higher level that it's not going to be a wash. Look, I'm not going to say Connor is like light year ahead of Dustin. I'm not going to say that.
Right there.
Yeah, I'm going to say yeah, they're right there. But again, You said the best Dustin, or someone here said the best Dustin we saw was in when he fought Connor, and he was getting tagged up to the point where Connor would throw a feint, and the guy was flinching, bro. He was flinching like a bully.
But did he win though?
No, he did win, and I'm not going to take that from him. I'm not saying please hear me. I'm not saying it's a fluke. I'm not saying it doesn't count. I'm not saying that he was lucky. I'm not saying none of that. What the vibe I'm getting from you, Jace, if I'm wrong, please let me know. But the vibe I'm getting is that Connor's washed and Dustin is on this elite level, and the gap is so big that Dustin is going to have his way with him. But it's like the only way that would have happened is if undercover and in the dark of night, Dustin fought Khabib, beat Khabib, and all of a sudden Connor took a step off a cliff and then just all of a sudden didn't even know how to throw a jab, never mind a counter. Like, that's the only way I can believe the scenario you're proposing. You can't call the guy washed and then the same brand say, oh, but at counter punches, man, call him Tony the Tiger because he's great. Like, you can't do that. Like, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Like, you can't sell me that he's washed and say, oh, he's a dangerous counter puncher.
No, that's the one aspect. That's the one thing he can do right now. Because when they first fought in 2014, this is McGregor, this is Poirier.
Uh-huh.
Poirier's been keep going up. You can argue McGregor's gone down because he's done nothing. Well, he came up for a little bit, went back down. He hasn't done anything. Poirier's been there. He's dominated this division besides Khabib.
Okay, and that matters because that was your lynch point. You were like, oh, yeah, he lost to Khabib. Bro, Khabib made your guy contemplate retirement.
He did that to a lot of guys.
You don't know who Khabib is? He's a Bears.
You think it? But my point
he
is,
dominates
in the same
people.
Breath, hold on, but you can't in the same breath say, oh, well, Connor lost to him. That means he's washed, bro. Since 2016, that's what he fought. You can't say that when, again, if you're saying he does this to everybody, then how can you then say, oh, because specifically Connor lost to Khabib, that means he's washed.
Okay, right. Still sentence. Okay, we can take that out. Still 1-1, the only win against a guy who's contemplating retirement in Cowboy Cerrone. What's he done? He got that good fight. He got that fight. Where has he gone since then?
He got that fight, and man, he lost to Dustin. I'll give you that. He lost to Dustin. My thing is, you can't say it's like leaps and bounds, and it's like, you know, the gap is so wide. When Connor was piecing the dude up, yes, Dustin won, and you know, he went to the corner, changed his game plan, he continued the leg kicks, and then he did his thing. I'm not going to take that from him. But come on, fam. Don't sell me that Dustin Poirier all of a sudden overnight turned into a GOAT status guy. You can't sell me on that, bro. Especially
when Poirier wasn't getting his, even when McGregor was getting his. Like, there is an avenue for McGregor to get the win. I just think that at this weight, and with McGregor doing, he's not as committed to the fight game as he was when they first fought in 2014. Can you agree with that?
Okay.
So he's all
he didn't have almost a bit in the bank. That's why.
No, I get that. But Poirier has been fighting. He should be in the title shot right now. He should have the belt around his waist now.
He didn't want it.
I'm not mad at Poirier for going to grab the bag. I'm mad at Conor McGregor for picking for taking these guys out of these situations and not respecting the belt.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's what McGregor's done. That's why it's in the UFC. What's a belt now? A belt is meaningless.
No, Jason. Don't say
so. Get in there, Sander. Get in there. Right.
Jace, I don't think you could think of it as it's meaningless. You got to think of it as you got to kind of put your shoes in the fighter's shoes for a second. These guys that fight the UFC are fighting big fights, getting chump change. So when the opportunity comes to make a quick bag, they're going to take it. Because when you got champions making $15,000 to show up and another $15,000, that's only $30,000 for a fight when they're risking their lives out there. They're gonna get that bag. You ask these fighters, they're gonna want, almost all of them are gonna want to get the biggest cash cow. It's Conor McGregor, so I can't knock Dustin for not choosing the title and choosing Conor.
I'm not mad at Dustin, I'm mad at McGregor.
You know what I'm saying?
I want to make that clear. I'm not mad at McGregor, but that's why to me though,
I think Dustin is going into this fight the wrong mentality. He should have pinned the title. He should have gone instead of Chandler. But guess what? He wants to get his pockets right. Even if he lost, his pockets are still gonna be chunky, but he wants his pockets right because he saw how it felt like to beat Conor. Because even when Nate beat Conor, Nate doubled his purse when he beat Conor, plus all the money that he got in endorsement. So a guy like Dustin fighting Conor for the third time, of course he's gonna want to do it for his husband to get right. I mean his wife, but nonetheless, dude, Conor, you making it seem like we about to see Anderson versus Forrest Griffin, bro. And that's not the case here. Conor McGregor is still an elite fighter. He's still at an elite time in his life. If he gets beat again for the third time, if he gets beat again by Poirier, then you know what? Conor, you might want to be thinking another conversation or having different ventures in your career. But still, man, this guy, he's still in his prime. He's still in his athletic prime. He's making the right adjustments. He's never lost in a row. I don't think he's going to lose to the same guy a second time in a row. He's going to make the proper adjustments. Dude, if it wasn't for those leg kicks, we would be having a completely different conversation. And you talking about Dustin Poirier could take it to the ground. When was the last time Dustin Poirier took a fight to the ground? He's a brawler. And if you're going to try and brawl with Conor McGregor, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get caught.
Yeah. You guys mentioned a point how you guys aren't mad at Dustin Poirier for, you know, taking the money, get fight. I get it. And I definitely get it. You know, life is bigger than the fight game. You definitely have a family to support, whatever, whatever. I'm pissed at Poirier because you got to chase your legacy. You really had a chance to become the lightweight champion. Jace, you mentioned it right now. He could arguably be the best lightweight that there is right now, and he did not take advantage of that. And if you want the trilogy fight, yo, McGregor, get good. Come see me up here because I'm up here. I'm not going to come down to you. You should come up to me because I'm rightfully so the hotter fighter at the moment, and that's the approach that he should have really taken. Like you said, Sander, sure, get your money, whatever. But come on, have him come up to you. Don't stoop down on him because at the moment, Poirier is a better fighter.
100%. And look, if you want to say he's a better fighter, that's fine. That's fine. I get it. I think Conor's gonna win, but to blame Conor for like this and be like, oh, Conor's ruining the belt. No, Dustin did because if Dustin was smart, he should have taken that fight. He should have said, bro, let Conor get some dubs, then he can come see. Like JJ said, let him come see me. Don't blame Conor because he's the cash cow. Don't blame Conor because he's the green elephant with horns in a room among sheep. Don't blame Conor because Dustin made the choice. Look at what else Conor's done.
Look at the Nate Diaz fight. He won the featherweight title and then went up to welterweight for two fights. He doesn't care about belts. He doesn't care about the belt.
Come on, man. And listen, if by your logic, guess what? DC also ruined it. Because don't forget, DC was a double champ. And guess what he did? He only switched the belts. You're forgetting that? So stop acting like the only person who's ever been a double champ
and did he win the belt and then say, screw this division?
Yes!
He won the lightweight belt and never defended it.
Never. He basically
okay. Go ahead. But he defended it when he was, but without
John Jones. He never defended it. He won it, and then basically
well,
what belt? This is John Jones. No, he won the belt and then swapped it. He never defended it.
He only lost to John Jones at like, okay, that one fight. Okay.
After that, he fought. If I'm not Uzumir,
he had that Uzumir fight after John Jones, and then said, "Screw it, I'm going to heavyweight." But let's take a look at before the John Jones fight, when he had the Gustafsson fight.
Doesn't
he
destroyed that
position. He was beating Rumble Johnson. Like he wiped out that division and decided to go up.
But what's
McGregor got the belt, didn't come back to the division, went two divisions up, then one division back down, never came back to featherweight after winning the belt, then won the lightweight belt, took him years. He went unboxed before he came back to lightweight. Right. So it's completely different.
No, it's the same because DC never defended it. He never defended the lightweight title.
Wait, but you're asking, but you forgot that he was champion when John Jones was dealing with was messed up with steroids.
I know we're all definitely all excited. We're definitely going to watch the card tomorrow. But Jace, I do want to ask you a question because we do have other exciting fights on the card. Is there any other fight on the card that you're looking forward to watch?
All right. Ty Tuivasa beating the crap out of Greg Hardy. I want to see that. I love Ty Tuivasa. The first heavyweight flying knee knockout, Ty Tuivasa. So this is great. Regardless, even if he doesn't, I want him to win. I want him to destroy Greg Hardy. But even if he doesn't, he's a guy, like, he puts on a show when he fights. It's going to be a brawl, and that's going to be fun. So him versus Greg Hardy, I'm excited for.
Absolutely. Guys, you guys got a fight you guys got in mind?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely one I got tickling the back of my mind. Look, I've stopped watching him fight for a while because he lets me down. Gilbert Burns versus Steven Wonderboy Thompson. I want to watch this fight for one reason and one reason only. In the welterweight division, Gilbert Burns is 2. And guess who's number 4? Guess. Steven Wonderboy Thompson. So dare I say, whoever wins this, maybe after, look, man, I don't care what no one says. Kobe Covington doesn't deserve the title shot. Dude fought one time, and now he's over there crying, "Oh, my God, the UFC's mean to me." No, you're mean to yourself, you moron. I don't think he deserves it. But unfortunately, it looks like Uncle Dana's protecting him, bringing him under his wing, everything. You know what I mean? Like, Connor left, and he goes, "Quick, I need a new best friend. Kobe, you're the guy." So after Kobe, I'm pretty sure whoever wins this fight, they're probably going to be in the mix. And I'm hoping it's Steven Wonderboy Thompson, because now we're going to see him versus Kamaru Usman. I think Usman will win, but yeah. I do think that's a very intriguing matchup. Yeah, I think it, especially with Wonder Boy, his little side style, especially him being a little kick heavy. Maybe he starts working on the leg kick. Maybe we'll see how Usman handles with that. Because again, Usman's a phenomenal wrestler, but now it's almost like he's trying to do what a few years back what Damian Maia used to do. Fantastic Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner. Guess what he started to do? Let me go and knock dudes out. Now Kamaru Usman starting to fall into that trap a little bit. And the thing is, if you're not that guy like that, you're going to get caught like what's happened with Damian Maia. Then he reverted back to jiu-jitsu, and then he decided, you know, he started doing his thing again. So that's definitely going to be something interesting because, again, whoever wins here could make a case. Maybe if Gilbert Burns has a dominant performance, oh, I deserve that rematch with Usman. Or if Wonderboy Thompson wins, he could be like, "Hey, yo, Dana, don't forget I'm here." So, I mean, Gilbert Burns and Steven Wonderboy Thompson, that's definitely one I'm going to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that's a good one because Wonderboy's the only dude in the top 5 on that division that fought Usman yet. So if he wins, that's ample opportunity for him to get the next title shot. So that's a really good one. And to your point, Jace, you were talking about which fight was it that you had mentioned?
The Greg Hardy.
Tuivasa and Greg Hardy, yeah.
Oh, Tuivasa. Yeah, Tuivasa and Greg Hardy, man. That's literally two defensive ends fighting because Tuivasa is built like a defensive end, and Greg Hardy was a defensive end. So that's going to be exciting, too. But my fight, guys, I talked about it a little bit earlier. Nico Price versus Mikel Pereira. That's going to be a banger, guys. Nico Price has been trying to make his name for a few years now in the UFC. He had a little run, but then came up short a few losses, kind of derailed his hype train. But Nico Price is every well as great advertised as he is. The dude is phenomenal. He has all the proper skills. Maybe a little bit more training and the right coach can elevate him to, you know, maybe championship contender status. But he's fighting slouch Michael Pereira. He's been making his name for himself as well. He's trying to get into the contender conversation, maybe crack the top 15. If he gets a fight against Nico, whoever wins this fight is going to for sure be in the top 15 come the next rankings. So it's going to be a banger, guys. Nico Price and Michelle Pereira, or Mikel Pereira. I don't know how to
pronounce that one.
Yeah, guys, I'm very excited for UFC 264, and I know we're all going to be watching it tomorrow night, so definitely looking forward to it. Jace, pleasure having you on the show, my brother.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hold on real quick. Before you go, Jace, I just want to throw it out real quick. When Dustin gets knocked the double F out, I'll be waiting for my apology.
Okay. All right.
You better be here on Monday.
Joe had to learn.
We'll be waiting a long, long time, bro. Okay.
Listen, Joe had to learn. And guess
what? Don't pull a Joe and show up on Monday.
I'm not Joe. Definitely, I am not Joe.
Thanks for being on, big fella. Appreciate you.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
We'll have you again, my brother.
Very fun.
Definitely appreciate Big Jace, man. Anybody that hasn't watched Jace on one of our many CMG podcasts, please have a chance. This man is so entertaining. I love watching him. He's a funny dude. But yeah, it is Friday, so you know we got to get to our topic, the Blazing Predictions, brought to you by, you already know, Rocky Hill Accountants. With over 35 years of combined experience, make sure that you guys have licensed professionals handling your financials. Make sure you guys ask for Haiti and let her know that her friends at CMG Podcast, and especially the Stir the Pot crew, sent you, because, you know, we rock. But here we are, Sander. You got your green shirt on, so I know you're ready to make your prediction. What you got for me, Papa?
Well, man, I've been rocking green lately because green has been giving me the Irish, man. And come this weekend, baby, I need the green. Last week I had it for Brazil. This week I got it for my boys out there in the Irish county. Conor McGregor with the dub over Dustin.
I'm surprised you didn't come out here with a bottle of the whiskey. You might though on Monday.
I was trying to find out. I was trying to find a bottle, but they're sold out, bro. White people love their whiskey, bro. Dude, the dude's almost a billionaire. I'm sure he's sold out for a reason. But nonetheless, I got Conor over Dustin. Third round knockout. I got his husband run into the octagon, trying to help him and defend him and help him out the octagon. But like Conor McGregor, he's been on a tear. If you look at all his past interviews yesterday and the day before yesterday, he's talking about murdering this dude, putting him in a body bag, just straight disrespecting him. Hey, straight disrespecting this man, man. And that's the Conor that we love and we miss. And that's the energy that I love.
I love it. You think he's going to get the knockout too, Pride?
Third round.
I mean, that's the only way Conor can do it, bro. He's gonna have to, because look, bro, we all know going the distance, Conor's not that guy. We all know that. If it goes past the third round, I just might switch teams. I just might, because Conor's really not that guy.
He's
gonna have to knock out Dustin, especially after what happened last time. Oh, you gotta knock him out to get revenge, bro. Like, you saw him.
For sure.
Was laying down like how my mom lays down when I asked her to buy me food. She says, hand me my wallet. That's how he was laying down, bro. You need to redeem yourself, Conor. Conor needs that KO, JJ. I'm telling you.
Yeah. I mean, when you get turned into a viral meme, you know you got to come back with revenge, because that meme was surfacing for a long time. What you got for me this weekend, Pride?
So, I want to lose. I really do. You know what I mean?
You're trying to lose, but you keep winning. It's weird.
It's weird, you know what I mean? Like, That's his trick. I'm just gonna keep trying to lose. You feel me? Because look, this dish of winning, the taste is old. I want to taste losing. Feel me? But I'm gonna be a cornball. Look, man, the Suns are gonna smack the Bucks, and they're gonna take a 3-0 lead. I really feel it in my bones. I really feel it. Look, man, Devin Booker, don't matter where you put him, Phoenix, Milwaukee, Boston, we saw what he did. Dallas, Mars, Jupiter, outer space, no oxygen, full oxygen, hypergravity chamber.
Marvel Universe, DC Universe. No,
man, bro, listen, bro. His father could be Vegeta, and we could put him in a hyperbaric time chamber.
Space Jam.
My man is dropping buckets, bro. He going to come, he going to do his thing. Mikal Bridges is probably going to go cold. But we all know Chris Paul. Dare I say, I'm going to be a cornball. The greatest point guard to ever grace God's green earth. That guy, CP3, he's going to come. He's going to show up, do his thing. Giannis going to do his thing. He's going to drop 40 or something. You know what I mean? But then, you know, Chris Paul.
You say we getting close out, Chris?
Did you just call him?
Playoff Paul. We're getting playoff Paul. The real, not pandemic P. I don't care about Paul.
That's the playoff.
I love it.
Calamity Chris, bro. Whatever name you want to call him, it don't matter. Because he's going to – You know how Conor said he gonna murder Dustin? Yo, Chris Paul gonna butcher these fools. He gonna butcher them. That's the energy my man CP on, bro. And I'm telling you, he gonna eradicate all of them, bro. Drew Holiday gonna be lost. He gonna demand to be released afterwards. Chris Middleton won't even know how to score.
Drew Holiday about to be second team by the end of the game. I'm telling you
right now, bro, 100%. I got the Suns to take a 3-0 lead.
Sanders said they're gonna bump him down to second team all defense.
Bro, he gonna be first team all Shanghai Sharks, bro. Keep playing, bro. Keep playing. We used to violate Ben Simmons, bro. Yo, he under the radar. Scott Kling. Come on, bro. Yo, the Wong Dong Tigers, bro. Get him out of here, bro. Let him keep playing, bro.
Oh man. Yo, you made me laugh to the point of my stomach hurt on that one. That was funny, yo. That was funny. But listen, I'm going a little bold on this one. And I think you guys might give me a little on my prediction, because listen, we got the matchup we wanted in Copa America, Brazil and Argentina. Oh, yeah. And I got Argentina defeating Brazil in Brazil for my man Messi to get his first cup with his home country team. Oh. I think that is Messi's time to finally bring one to Argentina and to beat Goliath, Neymar, Goliath, whatever you want to call them. I know that Brazil team, we know them for their greatness, man. If that's the one thing that Brazil is known for, is soccer and big booty bitches. And I'm telling you, Messi's going to go in there and play some soccer, and he gonna smash one of these things after two. Believe it. So I'm going Argentina with the upset to beat Brazil. Let's go. Yes, I want Skittles. Yes, I want Skittles.
So JJ. So you really believe,
baby? I got Brazil, baby.
That Lionel Messi, who, listen, bro, I don't care what anyone says, he's the second best soccer player in the world. I got Cristiano Ronaldo number one, and then I got Messi.
They're right there. You can't go wrong either.
If you want to put Messi out, I won't kill you. You really believe now is his time?
If it's not now, he never gonna do a prize. That's what I'm saying. You gotta do it right now. That's the first time he's gone to the final, so he got to do it.
I feel like his time already passed, bro.
And I'll give you this. I think Neymar's window is way wider open than Messi's. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying, like, yo, this is your best. Kind of like, you know how Chris Paul right now is in the NBA Finals? It's the same exact thing. Messi, you got to get it done. This is your best chance to win it. And, I mean, at least Chris Paul is playing Milwaukee, and Milwaukee is not known to be Goliath to nothing. Brazil is a Goliath, so Messi and that Argentina team does have a tall task, but I believe with his leadership, and that team is pretty damn good. The Argentina team does deserve to be in the Copa America finals, yes. And I do think that they are going to give Brazil the business. I think it might be like a 2-1 game. I don't think it's going to be high scoring. I think it's going to stay right there. They're going to strike, and I think that Argentina will hold it down.
Messi better score. I'm throwing out there. We all know him. If anyone here who hasn't watched like soccer, I'm talking about like La Liga or anything like. When you watch Messi, this dude is uber aggressive to the point where it's almost scary just how aggressive he is. Like, he's an extremely aggressive striker, so I expect him to try to keep a fast tempo when he has the ball. You see a lot of pushing. If he does not score and they win, JJ, does this damage his legacy? Because you got him picked and you said for Messi's first cup. If he does not score, doesn't that kind
of no, just for the very reason Argentina wouldn't be there without him.
Okay, I'll accept that.
Yeah, that's kind of just like the same thing. Like, if Devin Booker gets the Finals MVP, you're not going to diminish Chris Paul's greatness because he's a big reason why they got there.
Okay, I'm okay for that. Okay, that's fine. Messi better
win. Argentina needs Messi to win. Still doesn't really need Neymar to go off for them to win because they're more of a complete team. Argentina's top heavy with Messi. So I can see why. I can also understand why Messi plays aggressive because the dude carries the load. I know Suarez, but Suarez isn't had Suarez since Suarez was Suarez, you know? So nonetheless, it's going to be a banger. And like I said, hey, Messi, win or lose, man. I know his statistics, like, and his trees ain't going to be the same. But his bank account, dude, cashed like $747 million at the end of this season. So he's sitting pretty no matter what.
Listen, like, you know, like you say, between him and Ronaldo, you know, they go back and forth, whichever you want to pick is the best player.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the last 10, 15 years, they're both there. You know, Messi, he needs this. Like, this will just be – I think this could arguably be – his biggest accomplishment, considering that, you know, he is Argentina born. He's wanted to win a cup for Argentina. It's been like his dying desire to do it. and he's finally there. And like I said, he does have to beat Goliath for it. But if I think that anybody could do it in the soccer world, it's that guy.
We'll see. Well, I mean, you do make a point because, listen, bro, Luka even said himself. He was like, look, bro, if I'm, you know, with the FIBA, I'd rather win for my country than win an NBA ring. And I'm pretty sure Messi feels the same way. Because, like, look, he had success with Real Madrid. Like, he's had success, but I'm pretty sure he'll trade everything in the world just to win one time with Argentina. Because that's special, bro. Look, man, for, like, Manu Ginobili, everyone remembers it. But that gold medal he won in Spain, bro, that is his crowning achievement. It don't matter how many rings he won with the Spurs. That gold medal is his crowning achievement. I hope and pray we see Messi get it, because it would be a shame. He's one of the greatest players of all time. And for him to go out and not have this and lose because of a Goliath, it'd be a shame for him to go out like that. So
he has so much to gain. You know what I mean? I feel like I don't feel like he has much to lose in this game, because I feel like he's solidified, but he has a lot to gain from this. You know what I mean? Like I said, I think that Brazil's always a powerhouse. So you're always going to see Brazil in the top, at least in the semifinals. And Neymar, as great as he is, his window's still open. He's still relatively young. Messi, you could say he's nearing the tail end of his career. So he got to get it done. Yeah. He got to get it done.
Mm-hmm. Messi gets this. He can officially etch his face on the Mount Rushmore in soccer history.
I disagree. I think his face is already there.
Yeah, he might be. Yeah.
I think his face is already there. That's just me, only because he's been so dominant for so long that, like, at worst, he's the second best player in the world. That's how he's been his entire career.
And let's not act like, you know, like,
I'll phrase it better. I'll say it's more certified and unquestionable. There's still questions, you know what I'm saying? So I think with a Copa championship, something that not many people have in his sport, I think that solidify it and not you can be made against it.
And you know, the thing that I love about Messi, you know, and I don't mean disrespectfully, but you know, you got Ronaldo, who looks the part, bro. He looks like an athlete. He got the I wish I could Photoshop his body on me all the time. What?
I'd rather be poor but
sports. No, I got my fail. You want to call him ugly?
No. I was gonna say, you know, like, he just made the part. But yo, let's not front, Sander. Messi looked like one of our uncles that be drunk at the party, bro. He looks
like
Andrew
Luck. It's a big deal. So cuidado.
That's my guy. I love Messi. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, he doesn't, like, he just looks like if you didn't just watch soccer and he was walking on the street, somebody probably wouldn't recognize him. But Ronaldo just looks the part, and he's nasty. You know what I mean? Both these guys. If you draft either one of them, your team's in a good place. But I really do hope that, you know, for Messi, this will be great for him, for his legacy, and I hope he gets it. Is that little baby Naomi I see there? There you go. Little Xander.
Hey, Xander.
There you go. See, we a family show too. We have a little bit of everything in this show. God, we're nice. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys also follow us on our Twitter pages. Stir the Pot Sport ran by that little angel right there, Naomi. She put a little intake. So if you see a little typo, she probably wrote that one. And make sure you guys check us on Twitch.tv/Clovercrest Media Group. Check out the website before Pride screams at y'all again, because he let y'all know. Go check out the damn website. I appreciate the support, Pride, the way you be trying to shout out the website. Clovercrestmedia.com/Stir the Pot Sports. And check us out on Spotify under CMG Sports, and you'll see our beautiful logo, Stir the Pot Sports, man.
I'm just going to put it to y'all this way. If y'all don't look at that site, I'm going to beat you up, she's beating you up, and then the trifecta going to beat you up. So I recommend. She's saying hi, because she's like, if I'm nice, y'all will watch it.
I saw Kid's face twice when you did that, bro.
100%, bro. These kids have nothing of me in me. Nothing of me, bro.
And now Sander got two kids now, too. If you want to whoop it for both those beautiful children, they'll whoop your butt, too. So make sure you guys check out the website. Guys, I love doing this show with you guys, man. It definitely makes my week. I'm very excited for this weekend. Now, like I said, we got some UFC to watch, and I'll definitely be watching that Copa game, because let's go, Messi. Let's get it done. I got Skittles on it. I need the dub, man.
Yeah, I cannot wait for Monday, bro, because this is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Great weekend,
bro, like you said. Honestly, I think this is Messi's last chance to be the guy, because after this, I mean, maybe he joins, but maybe he's not that guy anymore. Maybe someone overtakes. But it's going to be interesting, bro. I cannot wait for Monday.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm definitely excited for it. Nonetheless, we'll be here on Monday. Your boy, JJ Vargas, my brothers, Riley Barron, Sander Sanchez. Catch you Monday.
Yes, sir.
The Giants are running New York like the times as Danny is dropping all sorts of dimes. Saquon's thighs are ruining defenses' lives and Leonard Williams making opposing QBs feel him. Receivers think it's scary to line up across James Bradberry, and the Giants have a bright future led by coach, judge, jury, and executioner. Tune in to Drawing About the G-Men every Wednesday at 6, live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch.